It's Monday, August 29th, 2022. Amazon Scott and 0492 investigation. Current time is... Hold up. Damn, I need an eye exam. It's 0620 hours according to the clock on the galley wall, and I'm going to be conducting...
Enhanced background analysis into the possibility that one of the Winterovas may have forged credentials. No. No, you know what? We're not doing this shit for the 10,000th time here, boss. We still ain't no closer to figuring out how I got here, why I keep coming back here, and how we have to stop me from whooshing back.
Okay, Mr. Ferguson, let me start off with A.
How did you know that I was going to dictate?
And B, what the hell did you have last night that is causing this?
Stop that.
No, you stop that.
No.
I'm being serious now.
Look, deputy, I can go on doing this all day long. I've actually done it all day long. Along there somewhere in the 20s or so. But I'm sick of this shit. This Groundhog Day shtick. Oh, all right. Right now, you're thinking about having Doc Brimmer do the head shrink thing and Doc Ambrose give me the old hi, hey, howdy. Let me spoil this one for you. Brimmer's gonna tell you, I believe what I'm saying, and that I seem to be able to predict what other people will say. Now, Ambrose, he's gonna say, I'm the most fit 40-year-old he's ever seen. I'm 52, by the way. But why does he have to keep giving me a prostate check that never makes sense? There is nothing up my ass that is causing me to jump back in time. Also, I'm not sure why he keeps doing the hole-in-one thing every time.
52... Mr. Ferguson, look, I'm sure...
Look, boss, this ain't agitation or going stir-crazy due to isolation. Every day I wake up in my berth, it's 6 a.m., and every day at exactly 5:27, there is a super strong wind, a bright light from outside, and I go right back into my rack, and then everything happens all over. Seriously, boss, you never seen Groundhog Day before to know how this shit works?
No, I never saw it. I don't happen to like,
Yeah, you don't like Bill Murray. What a fucking schmuck. Never forgave him for What About Bob. I get it. Look. Oh, shit, fire. I forgot. Okay, look. Sometime, I don't know, jump 40-something. I had everybody tell me something private to prove that I'm on the level. You picked your wife up at a bar. Yeah, there it is. Ah, told you, at a bar. Hmm?
Mr. Ferguson, lots of people meet their spouses in a bar. That proves nothing.
Okay, all right. Right, okay. Mm. Oh, you love cheese on pizza, but otherwise, you hate it on anything else. Fucking weird.
Losing me here. How about we go see Dr. Brimmer anyway?
Okay, look. Just, okay. In 8 seconds, Thomas is going to come through that door, and he's going to say, hey, guys, great morning, and Fruit Loops. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, hey, guys. Gee, it's turning out to be a swell morning, isn't it? Think I'll have the Fruit Loops today.
You're on the level here, aren't you?
You're always the easiest one to win over. Once you put me in front of one of the eggheads or the Poindexter or the Waltz, they take hours to convince. Tell them you haven't seen it.
Oh, hey, Deputy Marshal, Fred... Have either of you seen my lucky pen?
No idea where that pen is. What have you? Just repeating time here. Not taking any office supplies or anything, bud.
All right.
I haven't seen your pen either, Mr. Kelly, but I promise I'll keep an eye open for it.
Now, this is the part where he's gonna lick your taint, boss.
Well, okay, then. With a seasoned investigator on the case, it's as good as found. Later, guys. Where could I... No.
Back pocket? Check there. All right, Mr. Ferguson. You're actually catching me at a unique point with everything else going on. I'm inclined to help you. Just one thing.
Oh, yeah, boss. I got the pen. I need it for an experiment later. Just, you know, it's a little thing that I'm batting around. Let's walk and talk. I'll fill you in on what's what. Okay, so like I said, I wake up every damn morning, and it's the same day. Everything happens exactly like the day before, more or less. As soon as it hits 5:27 p.m., flash, bang, boom, I'm back in my berth. Now, I've tried to get help from the Beakers, from Wainwright, from the spastic old dude head scientist. Zeke thinks I've been drinking and hitting up the greenhouse guy's stashes, which I have, but that's not connected. I've also tried to radio McMurdo and some of their eggheads. Nada. Nothing.
How many times are we talking?
Oh, jeez, I don't know. I stopped counting after like 50. It's been a lot.
50? That's more than a month. Almost 2 months of the same everything?
The same everything. Wash, rinse, repeat. Boom. In my bed and can't find my boxes anywhere. I've been freeballing this whole time.
Okay, some details. No. No, thanks. Look, I might know somebody who could help. He's been going through some stuff the past few months, but I think for this, he may be able to help.
I have hit all the science nerds, boss. Even the piece de resistance of all scientists on the station, your girlfriend.
She has a name, Mr. Ferguson.
Oh, no disrespect, right, Dr. Jennings. Even though she thought this was some sort of scheme to get into her panties, nothing she said helped.
You said before I was always the easiest to convince. In all the past times you solicited my help, I never took you to her?
Oh, no, you did. Day repeating science wasn't her thing. She went into some Einstein long word explanations. Honestly, I don't know. I tend to just tune it out when it gets too nerdy. Now, what about this other science person, you know?
Oh, he's not one of the Beakers. Just knows a lot about, well, this kind of stuff. We're heading there now. And Mr. Ferguson, a bit of advice. Don't ever, ever reference Dr. Jennings' panties ever again.
That's nothing, boss. Give it a couple hours and you're gonna deck me good in the face. You always do.
Why can't I just go back to hunting murderers and transporting prisoners?
Huh. A temporal causality loop. Pretty simple stuff to understand and break down, actually, when you look at the core material we have on it.
What, you mean like science stuff and books and the interwebs?
I'm talking Star Trek, Stargate, Dark Matter, basically any sci-fi show produced out of Canada, really.
Oh, this. This guy's your subject matter expert, dweeby sci-fi guy number two?
Oh, hey, let's try and remember we're here to ask for help, Mr. Ferguson. Don't be an ass. Wait, if you were in a causal loop, you should have known not to say that.
This part ain't never happened before. I never did come down here to ask you, about the stuff and everything.
Mr. Todd, he's predicted things and events all morning with 100% accuracy. I have witnessed it myself.
Oh, butterfly zone, then.
What? Butterfly? What? Would you mind just telling me what that is?
The butterfly effect? It means that everything would happen as if it has for you before, except if you were to take a particularly different action, even a subtle one, would slightly change the future events you're experiencing before. Oh, but don't worry, time has a tendency to self-correct and return everything to the predestined path, at least in the Star Trek versions. Not so much for Hot Tub Time Machine, though.
Dude, epic fucking movie. You got hot topless chicks, motley crew. The whole soundtrack is a slice of 80s awesomeness.
Great white buffalo. I'm happy the two of you have made a connection now. How can we end this, Mr. Todd?
Well, Fred, what is the last thing you recall before the temporal loop starts over again?
Oh, right. So it doesn't matter what I do or don't do or change. Just before 5:30, there is a blinding white light and a strong gust of wind. The light is suddenly gone, and I'm back in my bed, wondering where my drawers have up and gone off to.
Huh. Blinding light and then home sweet home. Can you remember where you were the first time it happened?
Oh, man. I'm not no good with remembering things unless they actually matter. Number of sets, current best time for the mile around the gym, boob size of the ladies on the station, from the bazongas to the mosquito bites. Let's see, first time I noticed, I think. Hey, that's right. I was doing a fire safety check on the gas lines in the ice tunnels. The new fire chief, Cajun Carl, gave me the shitty assignment. So I was in the tunnels, Section C. going down the checklist. Yeah, yeah, I remember this. And then I started feeling like ants were crawling on my arms. The hairs on my body were all standing up, and I picked up my radio, and then boom, I'm back in my rack. And I got the worst case of ball itch every single time, too. You know, you scratch, you do the pinch and roll, nothing is working.
Okay, wait a minute, the ice caves. Isn't Section C by the gravity well sign?
Yeah, that's the one. So when I time travel, DeLorean jump, whatever.
Time loop, not time travel.
What's the difference at Poindexter?
Well, if you had been time traveling, you'd have run into yourself already. And the fact that you haven't tells us it's a causality loop, not a... Mr. Todd, do you have something?
Well, maybe. Just maybe. I need to do some research. Check some old episodes and VHS tapes. Come back. What time do you loop back again, Firefighter Fred?
5:30, give or take.
It's 7 a.m. now. Come back in a few hours. If what I'm thinking is correct, we may have a way to break the temporal reversion cycle event.
What?
You stop going back in the loop? Feels like there should have been more dramatic or somebody telling me to tone it down inserted right there. Never mind. Come back at 9.
Little nerdy guy always look like that unkempt.
Yeah, look, he's going through some stuff right now. He just needs some time.
Dude needs a shower and a weight routine. Oh, shit. Did he say it's 7?
Yeah.
Damn it! We're gonna be late. Come on.
What does the gym have to do with...
Oh, no, boss. This ain't about the time shuffle. Two-step or whatnot. This is for me. Took me 3 weeks to get the timing just perfect.
Okay, now we're gonna run laps. 1 mile to get warmed up, 20 laps inside the gym. Let's go already. Move them feet.
I tried so many things getting this just perfect. Golf balls, pencils, metal rods, popsicle sticks, whiteboard markers. The kid's pen is the only thing that works. All right, here we go.
My grandmama, she can run faster than all of you. Do I have to run with you to set the pace?
3, 2, 1. Bowling with pins.
Oh, who leaves a pin on the track?
I swear, that will never get old.
You spent months repeating the same day, and this is what you're doing with it?
This? Oh, this was nothing. You gotta wait till 3 o'clock, boss.
Somehow, in most ways, I know I shouldn't be surprised, Mr. Ferguson.
Right. Now we go see a lady friend science person who goes into a bunch of math and words I ain't understand the meanings of. Always a hoot.
So, in all this time, the looping, did you ever do anything you wouldn't normally do? I mean, if every day at 5:30 you go back to the start of the day and nobody else but you remembers, you could do whatever you wanted.
Yeah, no consequences. You ask me that question each time, and each time my answer is the same. No! I'll show up with the young Cajun kid to make sure his head ain't getting too inflated. I'll put hot sauce in Wainwright's oatmeal when he turns his head to look at the monitor in the galley. I'll unscrew and loosen every sugar container on the station. But I ain't sneaking a peek when one of the hotties is in the shower, going snooping through the underwear drawers. I may be, what do those little punks call it? A dude, bro. But I ain't no sleaze, a creep. As my grandma used to say, it ain't about the lay. It's about wanting them to give you the lay themselves. That's the sport, sonny.
I was almost there. It swayed to surprise and respect for just an instant. Then back again. I was so close. Just need you to go a bit harder.
That's what she said, am I right? You know what I'm saying?
Here we are, small conference room.
Hi, boys. I have to admit, the call this morning was a bit confusing. You want to know about causal paradoxes?
Yes, Dr. Jennings.
Oh, come on, boss. Why are we pretending? Ain't nobody on the station who doesn't know you to, an item. See? Last time I told you I wouldn't use canoodling to describe it.
Fine. Fred seems to be repeating the same day over and over again. Events are repeating, and he has already demonstrated an uncanny ability to know what is going to take place before it happens.
I see. God, I loved
Loved Groundhog Day. Thought it was a cute movie, but there wasn't much science real truth in it.
You have to understand this.
Oh, yeah, Doc, we understand
Bass,
that.
Is this some kind of...
No, Doc, this isn't Bass playing a trick on you, and no, Doc, my motivation ain't that. This time, anyway, if you know what I'm saying.
How did you know...
Time jumping, looping... Time door!
No, not time door. That's something different. Kendra, look, we're on the level here. Assuming the points Mr. Ferguson brought up were indeed what you were about to say, just goes to highlight the current predicament.
Guys, time travel itself is purely hypothetical.
From what Bass told me, some time ago in an earlier loop, for several days, he and some others were in 2045 a few months back. I'd say all this is less hypothetical and more thetical.
I thought that was highly classified information. We're under NDAs.
It is. We are. I have no memory of ever telling you anything about that event, Mr. Ferguson.
Previous jump, loop, whatever. Might as well pick a name and go with this. Ooh, Hail and Jumpin'.
What?
Jump. You know, jump by only the third best rock group of the 1980s, Van Halen. When I was a kid, I had the record. I'd play it all the time, and on the record player I had, it would just start skipping on the jump lyrics. I thought it was the funniest thing. That's what I'm gonna call this thing I'm in. Halen jumps.
Okay. I'm still not ruling out a practical joke here, but... Seriously, even with Fred being aware of the Canadian station incident, tests were conducted upon everyone returning.
We talked about this in another Halen jump. Anything powerful enough to transport an entire station back in time, or you forward in time, would have left an entropic decay signature on their clothing and equipment. Wainwright and Lawrence ran those experiments. Nada.
Entropic decay? What did Wainwright and Lawrence do?
Oh my God, this always leads to a dead end. But fine. Okay, so Larry took several samples of clothes from him and what's-her-name. The dust cover from a book he brought with him, a wrench, something else that I always forget. Anywho, he used entropometry measurements on each item versus other items that didn't go to, I don't know, Narnia, future land use we're all at. He cooled each one down almost to absolute zero, so the entropy also approaches zero. Then, small amounts of heat are put into the item, and he records the temperature until it hits 25 degrees Celsius. That data allows him to use it in a calorimetric equation to make up his damn mind. Oh, you're all killing me. Okay, look, simple. T equals AU over AS, with V and N being the constants from the cooling experiment doohickey, and uses the definition of temperature in terms of entropy, while limiting energy exchange to heat. That takes us to how entropy changes DS when a small amount of energy, DQ, is introduced into the system at a certain temperature, or T.
Kendra?
I'm more confused now than ever. Everything he... Well, he's correct. A bit more colorful than I'm used to, but... When did you study quantum mechanics and thermodynamics, Fred?
Halen jumping. You said it so many times, Doc. The first few dozens, I just sang the George of the Jungle theme in my head as you went on. Over the past, I started paying attention. VH also did Hot for Teacher. Know what I'm saying?
Okay. So... Assuming you're willing to entertain the notion that Mr. Ferguson didn't suddenly osmosis your quantum science, that stuff on the board,
and an early 80s rock analogy notwithstanding, can we assume he's possibly time looping?
Hail and jumping. I discovered it. I'm naming it.
Fine. Hail and jumping. Whatever. Kendra, can you think of any way to stop it?
To stop it, I have to better understand it. Understand what the genesis was to begin the process, the causal event that prefaced the anomaly.
Like I was telling the deputy marshal here, 527 every time. There's a flash of bright white light coming from outside. There's a tremendous burst of wind, and then bam! Might as well jump! Back in my rack. Here you go. Oh, Gesundheit. No boxes to be found anywhere. I still can't figure out where they went. These were my Thursday set of drawers. I wake up and my chain's hanging low, all alone?
Okay. Also, we determined the first event, the first Halen jump, was when he was doing checks for Chief Thibodeau in the ice tunnels, Section C by the gravity well.
Oh, all right then. Okay, first, thank you for the tissue. Second, good luck with your underpants, but ew. You mentioned a bright light each time. From which direction?
Depends on where I am when it all goes kaboomy. Looks like it comes from off in the distance, the end of the skiway in the downwind sector.
There aren't any structures or buildings out that far. There is a small operational hut at the Espresso drill site, but that's 8 kilometers and not in that general direction.
Look, not being rude, but we've been through this. I've been through this several dozen times. It's not Espresso. We ruled out the buried LC-130 at the end of the skiway. It's not the Superdon. Everybody said that I was a moron for thinking it was them tiny gray big head aliens with the black almond eyes. The little fuckers still creep me out with the little butt probes and the skinny arms. Get some free weights, you little anal loving sons
Focus,
of bitches.
Mr. Ferguson, please.
Ooh, look, boss, doc, I appreciate you both for helping out and tossing around the old hot science batata. Now, I need to be over at the DZ staircase so I can stop one of the beakers from tripping down it and breaking a leg, subsequently getting a date for tomorrow night that I never get to make. And then I gotta start putting items in motion for 3 p.m. when Chief Etouffee... I better not spoil it.
I'll check back in with Mr. Todd at noon to see what he came up with. Meet me back in the galley for lunch at 12:30.
Whoa! Normally it's at noon we eat. I guess introducing the kid, the computer nerd Autobot, whatever introduced them butterflies. Okay, all right, I'll see you at 12:30. And yes, you're still on for 8, boss, but she wants to stay in a berth tonight because she also has a report to file early in the morning. Also, ask around. Everybody in A1 section of berths knows what you two are up to at night. Unless Doc Jennings really is praying out loud to the Lord to not stop. Paper thin walls, guys. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. Bow, chicka, chicka,
bow, bow. I'm not sure which I'm more concerned over. The fact that Firefighter Fred just described entropic decay calculations using doctorate-level scientific theorems correctly, or that that perv in half the station knows about our love life.
Okay, one crisis at a time. With all the science he described, any thoughts?
Well, and I have to preface with all very hypothetical. Let's assume the flash of light he described is whatever the causal event was, will be. Coupled by the fact that he was near the door to Dr. Wainwright's super secret, the Atlas Project. It's not too far off to say it's related.
I had the same thought, but wouldn't that mean that Dr. Wainwright and whomever is running the experiment at 527 would also be Halen jumping?
It's possible. Not knowing what experiment is being conducted down there and with what equipment, I can't prove or disprove anything. Has Dr. Wainwright, Van Zandt, or the others claimed they're repeating the day?
Not that I'm aware of. Seems to me if Fred really is repeating the same day for 2 months, that would have come up. Another Halen jumper.
I'll check with Jovac and the others quietly. We are still on for tonight. But let's be more aware of the surroundings.
Hey, whoever you want to worship is nobody's business other than your own. Freedom of religion, or I guess you could say freedom of expression.
Bass!
I'll see you tonight.
Recording stopped.
Good morning, y'all, and I hope all my polies are doing wonderful this morning. Today is Monday, August 29th, and it's 9 o'clock on the tick. This is Miss Cheryl Lynn here with your South Pole Daily Announcements. Buckle in, y'all. Chief Meteorologist Topper Hunt says this unprecedented windstorm is only intensifying. We're seeing sustained winds of 30 to 40 miles per hour, and it's growing every day. Scientists and workers traveling to and from external buildings in the dark and clear air sectors need to check in upon arriving. Additionally, a zip line has been erected between stations, and each employee will need to connect so y'all don't blow away. Especially you skinny minis and beanpoles that need more meat on your bones. Let's all make sure we science safely. After a full week, we have a winner for the Jelly Bean Jug guess contest that Lunch Lady Alice put out. The winner, who correctly guessed the amount of jelly beans. Well, look at this. Not only did they get the number exactly on the nose, but also at the 7:30 a.m. cutoff time is Fred Ferguson. Next closest was our new Fire Tree Flandry, who had 1,280. Congratulations to Fred, who gets a special 7-course dinner for him. Okay. And a date served by the galley team in the B2 Lounge with scenic and romantic views of the Southern Auroras. To whomever agrees, we'll put human resources on standby. As a reminder, this afternoon, we'll be getting emergency refresh supplies for the station medical bay and critical life safety items. Airmen from the 62nd and 446th Airlift Wing Operations Group will fly a C-17 over us at around 1600 hours. Cargo teams 2, 3, and DeWalt Emergency Operations should have all snowmobiles fueled and be on standby. Remember, y'all, have to get them before the bumbles do. Today's lunch and dinner selections. Well, I don't think I've ever seen this happen before. Due to a supply shipment snafu this morning, the shrimp and sausage gumbo for lunch and the muffaletta with red beans and rice main entree at supper has been canceled. As a replacement, Lunch Lady Alice will have burgers, veggie burgers, and Fenway Franks for lunch, along with lobster mac and cheese or Boston clam chowder. For dinner, there'll be corned beef and cabbage, Boston baked beans, fried clams with scallops. For those vegetarians, Caesar squash salad or veggie pizza. And finally, y'all, I'd like to give a special, what do the kids all say? A shout out to a very wonderful guardian angel. I don't know who it was that left me the EpiPen on the ops desk, but thank you so much. I swear I didn't know I picked up a peanut butter cookie this morning. With my allergies, that could have been nasty. Dr. Ambrose said if not for that injection, I could have been laid up for weeks. Y'all would have had to listen to somebody else doing my morning announcements for a spell. Here I thought I was the fairy godmother. Thank you, little angel, whomever you are. Your timing was perfect. So there you go. I want each of my polies to be careful and safe and mind your manners with one another. Remember, he's always watching. Have a wonderful and blessed day. Thank you.
Okay, most times I wouldn't be going with non-scientific sources, but this is new ground for me. Run me through this one more time.
Based upon everything you and Fred have told me to date, coupled with the facts at hand, and the assembled works of dozens of great sci-fi tales, I have a plausible theory. recall how Fred mentioned he was in the ice tunnels, in the general vicinity of where you said there is a hidden chamber. Coupled with the fact that all the instances of power interruption last season to this season, the only unexpected factor are you and Fred.
Okay, that's pretty much where you lost me last time.
The only people who are not supposed to be here, but are here at the station this winter, are you and Fred. Dr. Timms was in the process of picking up medical items from McMurdo to restock us for the season. The pilot, Traeger, sometimes stays on station over the winter depending on the flight schedule in and out. I checked. Both were assumed to be winter over. You and Fred? Not so much.
So, Mr. Ferguson, or myself, are causing his Halen jumps? I'm sorry, what? It's, never mind, causing the looping effect.
Not directly. For this part, we need to dip our toes in the horror science fiction. Not really my forte or taste. That was more of Emery's, but, the needs of the many. Let's now look at the film series Final Destination as the next factor. Ironically, it was all due to something Fred said earlier, and how I remarked that time finds a way to course correct. In that film series, a teen has a vision of him and his friends dying in a plane crash as it explodes mid-flight. Ooh, he and some of his friends get off the plane and it indeed explodes. They were all supposed to die, but them leaving the plane messed up the Grim Reaper's plan. So, one by one, they start dying in chain-line series of events. It's death fixing the planned series of events to restore the timeline.
So we should have died in that plane crash?
No. Death isn't doing this, trying to fix the plan, but it shows us the predetermined series of events was interrupted. My theory is that Fred's looping is indirectly caused by whatever is going on in the tunnels, and that was interrupted by Fred being in such close proximity. It's reset mechanism, if you will, trying to establish a new set of parameters to fix this plan.
You lost me again.
Okay, as a kid, you ever get one of those mazes, like at a restaurant, where you have to draw a line to get through the maze without dead ends?
Yes, of course, right.
Okay. What was the starting point?
The beginning of the maze, right? The entrance, right?
What was the ending point?
The exit point, the opening at the end.
And if you're like most kids, you did it in pencil when you came to the dead end. I mean, I didn't. I didn't have to. But you could erase and try again. Every time Fred resets the day, that is, whatever is doing this has hit a dead end and erased the path back to this morning for Fred. The goal is to get him to the exit by going down pathways, events on station not tried. He said before in all his loops, he never talked to me about it. Today was the first, a new situation. We're finding the right pathway through the maze.
Okay, I think you got me back again, but you also said that I wasn't supposed to be here. Why aren't I experiencing this Halen jump?
Seriously, what the hell is a Halen jump?
It's what Mr. Ferguson calls it, because of the song Jump by Van Halen.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay. All right, I get it. Van Halen. Hagar was still better, though. Can't beat the Red Rocker.
I was always partial to David Lee Roth myself.
Diamond Dave. Whatever. Running with the devil. Blah. Please. David Lee Puke is more like it.
Can we please get back on track?
Right. Okay. Yes, you two were also not intended to be here for the winter season. I think that just as Fred may hold the key to the bright explosion, you may hold the key to the wind.
Lost me again. The wind?
Things around here may be off. Weird to the outside world, Deputy. But in that same sense, we have our normal routines, just like almost every other place. You and Fred, you're off.
Huh. Come to think of it, Mikkel said something exactly like that a couple months back. Just after I returned unexpectedly. It wasn't me that had to get used to everything. It was everything around here having to get used to me.
Wow. That's actually a really good analogy. Huh. It's us and our routines that have to get used to you being here. What you weren't supposed... You said that Mikkel had come up with that? Wow, I did not think that man possessed that type of intellect. He's got a great voice, too, not just the accent.
Yeah, he has a great voice and many talents. Now, how do I tie into the wind?
Every year we get strong winds, yes. But never have I heard or read of winds continually this strong and building in this intensity. That's new. Or another way of saying it, unprecedented.
Okay. Sydney told me there was a balance. Things here on the station depend on a balance. And Franklin had said that because of my guilt, the scales were tipped unfavorably.
Oh, yin and yang. The force and the dark side. Even an odd Star Trek sequel. They all equate to a balance. Everything is starting to come into sharp focus, Deputy. The last remaining piece, the factor I can't reconcile with, it's the explosion. I know the what. I think the who is pretty clearly you and Fred, because you're here and not back in the world. When is at 5:27, which is what Fred reported. Where is here, obviously. But it's the why. The why? I can't logic out the why. What happens around 5:30 today? What is supposed to happen?
I don't have any. I mean, dinner got switched around. They started serving around that time.
Oh, that was obviously Fred's doing. Of course. What? I mean, I didn't notice it before, but the food selections are all New England-based. Pretty obvious he's taking advantage of his forward knowledge.
No, gastrointestinal distress isn't the why.
What are we missing?
Breakfast, meetings, tripping Landry, lunch, dinner. There's a staff meeting at 4:30 in the big conference room. Airdrop supplies at 5 p.m. I mean, that's close, but not 5:30.
Close. But I don't see how medical supplies would be causing this.
Mr. Todd, in all your science fiction, tales, stories, TV movies, what would a decaying radioisotope do to explain a why?
Oh, I know how M always felt. Oh. Nice try, Depp Marsh. Yes, radioisotopes are scary, but they're fairly common. An energy wave that could cause a temporal rift or wormhole, a radioisotope wouldn't even face it. It's preposterous. Decaying, okay, we're getting better, but still, no, I don't think so.
What if it was concentrated radium-226 isotope?
Oh, not bad. Highly radioactive for sure, but that doesn't occur naturally down here. Plus, it would have to build up so much energy potential, then, I mean, maybe.
The isotope is a miniature shield container meant to act as a tracking device to monitor physical movement, powerful enough to be picked up by satellites.
Radium, giving off alpha particles, contained in a small, shielded environment, mixed with an external energy source powerful enough to loop somebody. I'd have your Dr. Jennings confirm, but that's going to cause a fairly powerful boom. Maybe even enough to cause a temporal loop event. What the hell is the U.S. Air Force putting in those crates?
That's classified, Mr. Todd. Needless to say, the shielding was meant to act as a safety measure for the short time it was supposed to be at the station. Again, an event that would not have been triggered had I not been here.
Sorry for the late notice, y'all. But due to higher than anticipated winds, the emergency drop will be delayed to 5:30 today. Cargo and DeWalt emergency teams, still be on your toes. Thank you.
Well done, Mr. Todd. Now, how do we stop it from happening?
Deputy Marshal, I have an idea about that too. But you may not like it.
Okay, everybody, that's the stuff we can't talk about officially. Needless to say, it's something Mr. Kelly, Zeke, and I have been researching since my return to the station. Given the events involving Mr. Ferguson, it's become necessary to include the rest of you in our activities. Please understand many of you were purposely kept in the dark until now to ensure no retaliatory steps will be taken against you. That said, Mr. Ferguson, Kendra, Mr. Todd, that's everything we know to date in regard to the Project Atlas, as well as the events with the station anomaly where Mr. Waters left us.
You know, if not for this Halen jumping, I think you all were some of the most paranoid bunch of nerds in all of nerddom. But hell, oh, 3 minutes. But hell, this is starting to become a blast.
I'm still astounded at the amount of funding Thomas said was being funneled into their secret project. That much money. Oh, it could provide so many additional research grants. It would benefit the station works we perform.
If I thought it was taxpayer money or funds being misappropriated, I could act and make arrests. But from everything we've seen, it's all directly coming from several U.S. corporations, which are no doubt fronts for Bolo.
Oh, they absolutely are. I may not have many detective skills, but from all my years working in a cubicle and dealing with data and crunchy numbers, I can follow a money trail. It's money coming in from sources indirectly associated. It's a Beauregard-Lowing funding project, all right?
Well, we may know it's them, but does anybody know what the hell they're doing in the ice tunnels?
Dr. Lorenz, Wainwright, Van Zandt, and Jovac are all not in their usual places today. Not in their offices or in the labs. Stands to reason they're working on Atlas. Especially, well, given what Mr. Ferguson says about leaping.
Hail and jumping. Also, 1 minute.
1 minute to what?
Oh, you'll see.
So, what's this plan you all came up with?
Well, we effectively, for the most part, ending the reoccurring temporal loop Fred has been experiencing. To do that, we need to recreate the original series of events by having Fred in the tunnels where he was doing the first initial event.
Oh, I'm on it. I'm already about to be assigned to inspect the pipes again, all right. Just a few moments more.
Okay, seriously, Mr. Ferguson, what is about to happen?
I am so glad you asked, boss. If I can have everyone focus their attention to the rear entrance of the galley in 3, 2, 1.
Why is there a bucket perched above the door? Is that? Oh no! It's Landry!
Oh, hey! Looking good there, new fire chief. Most people put milk on their cereal, not on their heads.
Oh, you find this humorous, Hockey Puck Man?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then you just volunteered.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I should probably inspect the gas in the sewer lines and the ice tunnels, right? And you want to report by the end of the evening? You got it, Milkman.
He's getting so good at his punishments, he's even calling them out for me. It's disconcerting.
Seriously, you're like a big bully, Fred.
Oh, come on now. It's okay, Doc. Trust me. He gives just as good as he gets.
Okay, so what's the rest of the plan, Mr. Todd?
Oh, with Fred in position at precisely 527, the energy created by this Project Atlas will first interact with Fred, then go on to interact with the uranium isotopes that are in the containers being parachuted in by the Air Force.
Wait, why are uranium isotopes being delivered? They're highly radioactive.
Look, I knew they were part of the incoming shipment, but I am not at liberty to explain what their intended purpose is. I'm sorry. They've been contained in a secure storage and containment environment. There was not expected to be any negative effects, nor anything expected like Hagar jumping.
Oh! It's Halen jumping. Sammy Hagar had no business being in VH. It's Van Halen, not Van Hagar. Stick to making tequila, but you all know what I'm saying.
Deputy Marshal, the Antarctic Treaty is very specific about the materials to be brought onto the continent. Radioactive materials for non-scientific purposes are not typically permitted.
This is an unusual situation, Mr. Kelly. I grant you that. Again, and I'm not able to go into the details, suffice it to say the materials will be taken off the continent within 60 days of arriving. The U.S. government is aware and has authorized the activity. I can't say anything more than that. Mr. Todd, please continue.
Oh, okay. The energy released by whatever Project Atlas is, coupled with Fred's interactions, as well as the interaction of the alpha radiation buildup in the shielded containers, is most likely what causes the massive explosion Fred describes. However, if we have the deputy marshal situated at the base of the drop zone, I theorize that it will counteract the modification of Fred's presence, making the interaction inert.
Look, I mean no offense, Chris, but this has almost no base in science. I can't even describe how dangerous this plan is. What is your source material, Mr. Todd?
Only the creme de la creme of top science fiction writers. Hello.
Guys, please, understand, I'm not trying to dampen anyone's plan, but as a scientist, I'm trained to look at everything through the lens of logic.
And we appreciate that, Doctor, but belief begins where science leaves off and ends where science begins. Look, I ain't saying I get what the science says or the whatever it is Mr. Todd is on about, but what I do know is that I've seen Fred here predict things that are about to happen, and they do. Not just simple things.
Yeah, he did properly describe entropic decay calculations.
I don't know what or who is doing all this hailing jumping, but I've seen enough to know it needs to stop. Fred needs to stop and live in the same day.
Huh. I know I wouldn't want the same routine over and over again. Living on the station over the winter can be difficult enough. Living the same day? Oh, I can't even imagine.
The spaceman plan is interesting, kid.
Gah! What the hell is somebody so big able to sneak around and with Fozzie Bear on his hand?
Easy, Chief. I'm here to help. Well, the dime store story and funny book tale sounds like your mug's needed. How long have you been standing there? Long enough to know you only got half the picture. The kid with the thick set of peepers said that there were two of you not supposed to be here. You got two and two right, kid, but that don't add up to three, which is what the answer is. Me.
But you were supposed to be here. Lars is on the official manifest from the NSF. Well, an NSF, if you believe the alternate reality theory.
I'm not talking about the big moose here. I'm talking about yours truly. If this little soiree of yours goes into action, you'll need all three of us. And if what I'm thinking is right, I get a one-way bus ticket back to where I belong.
To be continued.
This is Brian Bradley. Thank you for listening to our show. We are commercial-free and able to do so thanks to our amazing sponsors. You can help support 90 Degrees by visiting our Patreon page. Go to 90degreespodcast.com. That's the number 90 and degrees podcast, all one word, .com. You'll find a direct link to our Patreon page where you can make a monthly pledge and get shirts, buttons, stickers, or even a shout out as an honorary station polly. Speaking of, we'd like to send a special shout out to the following pollies: Nick Wolf, Ernest A. Polron, and Padma Numi. Thank you for your sponsorship. It helps and supports us in so many ways.
This has been 90 Degrees South. On behalf of the cast and crew, I'd like to thank you for listening. If you liked the episode and are enjoying the series, please remember to give us a like, a share, a tweet, send a raven, or review on iTunes, Audioboom, or your favorite podcast site. It helps us to get the word out and keeps the cold at bay. Until next time.
This has been a BMB production.